Have you been injured at work and need help getting the benefits you deserve? Call me, attorney Steve Marte, at 312-312-HURT for a free consultation. That's 312-312-HURT. I will personally handle your claim from start to finish. Call me, Steve Marte, today.
The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. They've got some here at Penny's Beverage Depot. Find Connie's wherever frozen pizzas are sold, like Mariano's, Jewel, Osco, and bring home the best today. Connie's, pizzeria quality no matter how you slice it.
Broadcasting live from the First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, State Street Studio.
This is ESPN 1000.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
This is Waddle and Sylvie.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
All right, we'll talk some hoops with Nick Friedel here in a minute.
Can I also thank the fine people at Wild Fork? Last night, we were over there in Roscoe Village. We were there from like 6:30 to 8:30. The food is great. The people were beyond friendly. It was one of those events that you love spending time with. And I got to get you hooked up with the fine people over at Wild Fork.
How can you do that? What is the website? Because you were raving about it, not only today, but yesterday you were telling me about it. And this sounds something that would be perfect for our family. And I think there's a Waddle promo code as well.
Yes.
For money off. You can give it to us.
Use my
later.
Promo code. You get like $10 off a purchase of $50 or more. But the food is fantastic. The places are spectacular as well. I'll take you over there. How about that? We'll do a little field trip one of these days.
I could drive. I mean,
you don't want to go with me?
No, I'll go with you. Okay. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Though you do shuttle my ass all around town usually.
You can check all their stuff out at wildforkfoods.com.
It's worth your time. Your promo code Waddle? Is that what it is?
Jess, is my promo code Waddle?
This is what I deal with every day. Yeah. This is why he didn't show up to Crosstalk Unhinged yesterday.
I forgot.
Because nobody reminded him. Yeah. Like, I have to remind Mason.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not going to lie. Listen, I could run from it. I could get defensive, or I could just say,
no, it's good. Guilty. That's why you're great.
Guilty is charged.
That's why you're America's sweetheart. Yeah. Because
I failed to show up for things. Because
you acknowledge when you're wrong. You don't fight it.
Wasn't that your experience on Wednesday? Then you get the same response from the person you worked with on
Finally,
Wednesday?
But yet I was blamed for it not being combative.
By Greenberg or by Zetterman?
Zetterman, the quotes for Zetterman just like, he came down in that first hour, Zetterman, patting me on the back, massaging my head, telling me how great, this is great.
Well, he was massaging your head.
Yeah, then I read in the Athletic today just how Abdallah came in with planned stuff, which he does. And I love Abdallah. This is not an anti-Abdallah thing. But, like, he compared him to me as if I didn't have anything to battle Cap about.
I enjoyed it. I thought you guys were really good. I enjoyed the two of you together. And, yeah, I think people maybe were looking for, like, one of those old-school physical confrontations.
But he backed down to everything that I brought up. He acknowledged that he was an asshat.
That's progress.
What do you want me to do?
I'm sorry.
Say it again.
I'm an asshat.
Like he said, I brought up the statement about you should never boo or you should never say someone sucks.
Yeah, Nick Foles.
When you say someone sucks, Nick Foles, there were three things in a week. He said first Byron left, which sucks. Then he said Nick Foles sucks. And then on the show before he brought it up, he said Jay Cutler sucks.
Cap can be a little dismissive at times. You know that.
After ranting the week before about saying to fans, never say that a professional player sucks because they don't suck. It really bothers me when it happens. And I said to Cap at the show, I said, Cap, this is what you said. Do you not listen to yourself while you're talking?
Maybe he was banking on the old radio adage that your audience changes every 10 minutes.
But it's not your opinion changes every 10 minutes. It's your radio audience. You should keep your opinion.
I had no problem with you guys actually getting along. I thought it would have been even more difficult if, in fact, you did roll around on the floor in the studio. Yeah. I wasn't expecting.
Well, yeah, I mean, who's going to break it up? Me and Shay? Like, come on. We would have just let that
go. Oh, you would have egged it on.
Yeah, we would have let it go.
Oh, yeah, you would have egged it on.
Of course, yeah.
All right, let's bring in Nick Friedel right now. Nick does wonderful work for ESPN. He is following the Heat now in the postseason after his Nets that he's covering now I mean, look at the track record here. He's on the Nets. The Nets got eliminated in the first round. He bumps over to Miami. Miami's on the brink of getting eliminated today. The Warriors are back in the finals after Nick left town.
Wow. Wow.
Nick Friedel joins Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Hello, Nick.
I'm just sitting there cracking up because it's like the good old days of sitting at the United Center and they say, okay, you got to be ready at 3. You got to be ready at 3. Sylvie will be mad if you're not ready at 3. And then I sit on hold for 10 minutes while you're talking about crazy cap stories from days gone by about backup quarterbacks. I mean, I feel like I'm there with you guys.
Have I ever, honestly, in all the years you've known me, have I ever been mad at you?
Hell no. No, no, no. But you were, the only thing you really would get pissed about was when I'd be on a bad phone.
Yes.
And I feel like I was on a bad phone so often that there was a time in New Orleans that I stood at a payphone for 20 minutes to make sure that I called in from the right
time. Clear line, though. Nick, it was one of your best hits.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And I have to tell you all, while we're on all kinds of different topics here, before we get rolling, I'm sitting at the Garden right now waiting for the game to get going. And I spent the last 20, 25 minutes watching some of the content that WGN pumped out for Dan Rome's retirement, and it was awesome. And I kind of smile because in New Orleans, in the beginning, a few years after I started covering the Bulls, Dan was there. He had to do the pregame show. He's like, hey, you want to go to lunch? And so you talked about this the other day, but I was sitting there going, I'm at lunch with Dan Rome. I watched instant replay like a whole bunch of other kids all across the country growing up. So that part was really, really cool, and it was cool to see him be able to enjoy that moment the other night.
Last night, that was his last night. And I'm glad, Nick, that was good work by you to bring that up, because we had it on our docket for yesterday, and somehow we forgot to mention it. And like you, so you know when you're a big Chicago sports fan and you have to move, you want to be connected to Chicago. You miss the city or the area you grew up with. And I went to SIU, so I was getting no Chicago coverage, and it was a big Cardinals area. And then I went to Iowa, the state of Iowa, where obviously there's no Chicago coverage either. And my lone connection back in the day, before the internet and all that stuff, was WGN-TV. Like, many people found the Cubs, and many people. And not only did I get the Bulls games and the Cubs games, but you got the awesome coverage by Dan and his sports department. And I would, 9:40 on Sundays, I would be locked in, and Dan Rohn kept me connected to the city and the teams that I love.
100%. And, I mean, you're talking to a kid who grew up in Orlando, Florida. And every Sunday night, at 10:40, I'm sitting in Orlando trying to catch in on my Cubs and seeing what's going on in Chicago. And to see Dan and Rich King and Ike and Steve Scher and all those guys that have spent so much time pouring in so much good work over there, it was cool to see all the memories that he had put together through the years. But Sylvia, I was like you. I was sitting in college. I'm watching WGN still, trying to get that time to feel connected back to the city. So to get to know him just a little bit through the years is pretty awesome.
And not only one of the most talented guys you would ever watch do his job, but one of the friendliest and realest guys as well.
Right? Yes.
No,
like,
ego.
I mean, you know, you come across a lot of people. There have been a lot of great people in the city of Chicago. But, you know, going back to my times when you would actually be getting interviewed by Dan, and you always knew you were going to get a fair shake and a pleasant exchange. And I thought it was great last night. His family was on set, and I know how much that Jared Payton admires him and looked up to him. It was, Jan did a really nice job with it, for sure.
So, all right, what do you believe, Nick, we're going to find out when this series ends? I anticipate, but stranger things have happened, that Boston wins tonight. But what are we going to find out about Jimmy's health at when this is all over?
His knee hurts. It's so obvious to me, having watched him through the years. And Sylvie, the tell was the other night. I've been in so many Jimmy press conferences over the last decade, which is crazy because I was looking the other day, and guys, he's about to be 33. Jimmy, who couldn't get off the bench those first couple of years and was trying like hell to carve out a niche in the Bulls rotation, is now the star of the Heat, about to turn 33. But the other night, he sat there in the press conference, and he was asked about his knee, and he said, I'm not even worried about it. And through time, dating back to all those years ago, when Jimmy says he's not worried about it, and the first thought that popped in my mind, guys, was when he was like, well, I'm not worried about my contract. Right. Yeah, right. Okay. And he didn't know what the other guys around him made. That was all a joke. He knew exactly what was going on, who was saying what, who was making what, his contemporaries in the league. And I think that knee is really bothering him. So I know he's going to try like hell to win tonight and extend the series. But when you watch him, just watch the first few minutes. Is he able to cut? Is he able to get to the rim? In that first game, he got to the free throw line 18 times. The other night, he went 4 times. When Jimmy is at his best, as everyone in Chicago knows, when he is aggressive, going to the rim, creating the contact. And that knee is just not allowing him to play at the level that we're used to seeing.
You know, Nick, there are better players in the league, for sure. But, you know, when you look at the different guys and the different teams that you've covered in the past, Jimmy may be the best story you've covered when you factor in where he's come from and where he's gotten to.
Absolutely, because Tommy, it's stunning still. And I've been around him from the night he got drafted when we were sitting out at the Birdo to see the level that he's got to now. I just still can't believe it. I can't believe that he has reached this point in his career and he's on the cusp still of being one of the very top-tier guys that there is. And for me, through all the different stories, he's got to be right at the top because nobody ever saw this. This was not a possibility when Gar and Buzz Williams were talking about should the Bulls draft him at the end of the first round all those years ago. Nobody expected this. But Jimmy, to his credit, just busted his ass day after day after day after day, and he put in the work. Now, do I think still that he is the number one star on a title team? I do not. And you and I and Sylvie have been having this conversation for years and years, but for the work he has put in to get to this level, for him to become what he has, it really is an incredible story, given all that it took for him to reach the NBA and prosper the way that he has in his career.
See, I that's where I disagree. Like, I'm not telling you he's LeBron in his prime, but Nick, he got to the NBA Finals 2 years ago. He's in the Final Four now, and they had a lead until he got hurt. So I know he hasn't won it all yet, but, I mean, KD and Kyrie are two guys that absolutely are top guys that you would want on a championship team. They went out in the first round. LeBron James went out before the play-in. I just think that with everything you just said, after limiting him, why would you limit him with this?
Well, I'd limit him now because I don't think his knee can hold up.
Well, right.
And that was the issue, guys, dating back to the end of the run with the Bulls. The feeling was in the organization from some that the knee wasn't going to hold up. It has for the most part, and he has maintained the level. But let's all take a minute here because I still hear from Bulls fans who say, oh, Bulls should have never traded Jimmy. They'd be in a totally different spot. The Bulls culture at that point could not handle Jimmy Butler, straight up. And it took him to go through Minnesota with Tibbs, who knew him and loved him, and to come to Miami to reach the very best out of him. So anybody who's living in the past and saying, oh, well, it would have all been different if Jimmy had just stayed. No way. The Bulls didn't have and don't have the culture that could have brought the best out of Jimmy in that moment. And they didn't have the people in place that could stand up to him on the floor and say, what the hell are you doing? And Joakim was that guy, and they butted heads badly in that last year. But it just wasn't meant to be with Jimmy in Chicago. So I want to stop the revisionist history from some people who say, oh, well, the Bulls could have done this if they had just stuck with Jimmy. Jimmy Butler needed the Heat, and the Heat needed Jimmy. But the Heat's culture that's been in place, to me, is really the only team that can withstand the personality that is Jimmy at this point in his career and his ego that has developed through time.
To the modern-day Bulls, Nick, what do you ultimately believe happens with Zach LaVine?
I think he's going to re-sign, and I think the Bulls are going to do it. And Tommy, we've been down this road. Everybody knows where I stand on this. I mean, re-signing Zach to that max deal is like signing a contract that says we won't not go past the second round for the next few years. It's just I understand both sides. I see everything very clearly in that sense. And I know Jesse and I were texting about this last week. But Sylvia, I know you guys were going back and forth. And your point is, well, where are you going without him if you let him walk or if he decides to sign somewhere else? And my point back would be, where are you going with him? Where is a team, if you sign Zach LaVine to a max deal and you've got the pieces in place that you have right now with Ball and the injury concerns he already has, where is that team going? And this ties into team building, Tommy. This ties into the whole conversation with Jimmy. I understand where people say, all right, you just want to get the best players you can and try to win. My whole basketball existence covering the sport was shaped by following all those tip teams. And it was win a title or bust. And so my whole view is, when I look at a roster and I look at the way it's being built, are you close to a title? And Zach LaVine is a nice guy. He is well-liked in that organization. He is a really solid player, and he's gone to two All-Star games. Congratulations. To me, he's never going to be a guy that's going to lead a team to a title, especially when he's one of the guys in one of your max slots. So everybody can have a different opinion, but as I look at the Bulls, I look at a nice team that improved, and maybe they can get a little bit better. I don't think they are anywhere close to being in title contention, though.
Here's what I said about, like, why I sign him. First of all, they need help. You're right. You cannot win with Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. I got blinded by the great record in January and February. But I think AK's aggressive enough to use the limited pieces they have to try and get someone else to pair with them. If that doesn't work and he doesn't or if they stay with Patrick Williams and Patrick Williams blossoms, they're not all like 100% locks. But what you do have, I'm not trading Zach LaVine for picks in a bad contract right now in a sign-in trade. So I'm going to bide my time with Zach. And then if KD wants to leave or someone else on another team, you're going to have someone who makes a lot of money to match money. And you're going to have someone that other people could be bullish on who's young enough, good enough, and athletic enough. If you get rid of Zach now, you're not going to have cap room to do anything anyway. So I'm just going to bide my time with this team, see if I can build around them, do as well as I can. And I still believe that other teams, just like there's a market for him now, will be willing to give you something for him in the future. And hopefully it's in a package that involves a disgruntled superstar.
And that could be. And Sylvia, I understand that point completely. The only thing I would tell you, and I would tell Bulls fans, you say, okay, we got to sign Zach. Well, then just understand and temper the expectations because you're not getting a title. That is not going to happen with the way the cap is structured and the money that is coming LaVine's way that's already on the books for DeRozan. And guys, looking back, that Vucevic contract and that deal, I mean, the contract's fine, but the deal, oof.
Yeah, they lost the deal, right.
Those picks and to see the way he performed the last year and a half, you know, they swung, they tried, and they missed on that one. And that's why I was yelling at anybody who would listen, okay, LaVine outperformed that contract that originally I wouldn't give him. I fully acknowledge that, but that's when I would have moved him. A year and a half ago, because the deal was still good. You would have had plenty of picks and or pieces to build around in return.
They are
and
a bunch now of Kobe Whites, caught. Though. I'm tired of drafting Kobe Whites and Wendell Carter. Let me ask you this question, though, Nick. If they do re-sign Zach, and then they've got a chip in Vooch, not worth a lot, like you said, but it is an expiring deal and a guy who can score and rebound. You've got the 18th overall pick. Your wild card is what Patrick Williams' value is in a trade. So if you, with the assets that you do have, is there somebody out there, like we've thrown out their AD, whether you agree or disagree with whether or not the Lakers are going to trade AD, is there someone like that who you can buy low on where they would take your 18th pick, Vooch, and maybe Patrick Williams, to pair with DeMar, to pair with LaVine, and to go with Lonzo, where you then become a contender in the East?
No, I don't believe so. And I really feel like we're going back in a time machine now, because this is the three of us have had this conversation for over a decade. There's just not enough. Who is taking those pieces and turning them into the type of difference maker that this team needs? And I will hold to this till we're blue in the face about this Bulls roster. It's a nice group. It's a nice story. They play hard. There is not a superstar on this roster that's carrying you through the postseason. And there's also not a superstar you're going to be able to acquire for those pieces you just mentioned, Sylvie. And that's the issue that I see with the Bulls. It's not that AK and Eversley don't deserve credit for what they've built and are trying to get through. It's just that I'm going back through all these years, and we live this together with the Tibbs teams, and this was the whole point from Jerry Reinsdorf on down with ownership and Pax when he and Gar were in charge. You're not building teams to go to the second round to get bounced. And that was the stunning part to me in watching this Bulls roster get built from a distance, because at its ceiling, again, just my opinion, they are a second round and out team. And we saw the regression to the mean at the end of this year. They just don't have enough. They beat up on a lot of bad teams, and they start playing good ones, and they got drilled. So I'm looking at the roster. I'm saying, okay, I'll leave open some hope for them to get a little better. But it was always about titles. And this team just isn't very close to a title. And it was cool to see the city get back into it and all the wins pile up early. But if we're being honest with ourselves, you max out Zach LaVine and you bring back this court, you know how good they have to play to even get back to where they were? That's the scary part to me if you're a Bulls fan.
Let's stop being honest with ourselves. Let's just start lying to ourselves and enjoying it. You know, I mean, I think that's the answer. Let's just lie to ourselves. No, seriously, Nick, let's say that the Celtics get past the Heat tonight. What kind of series are you anticipating, if that happens, between the Warriors and the Celtics?
Celtics in six, Tommy.
I misread the Warriors-Mavs series, but I kind of feel the same way. Can the Celtics physically get the Warriors out of their rhythm, and is that the deciding factor maybe?
Yes, and this Boston team is tough as hell.
Yeah,
they are big. They switch everything defensively, and I think that Jason Tatum, we're talking about, is Jimmy a superstar? Can he cross that threshold? I'll tell you who's right there about to, Jason Tatum. The guy's awesome, and he's only getting better. And he's younger. The only thing that would scare me, if you're a Celtics fan, is I'm just not sure if they're going to be healthy enough to finish this. And that Warriors team, as we all know, is really proud. They want this desperately. They want to get Steph that finals MVP that he has yet to win. It's really the only thing that's missing from his career, aside from a gold medal. But that Boston team, they were left for dead early in the year. They were really bad. And they turned it all around. And with the way they play defense, I don't think they're getting enough credit nationally for the team that they've become. With Robert Williams and Marcus Smart and these guys, they know how to play. They're well coached. And it's going to be a hell of a series. But I just feel like their size is going to be the difference against the Warriors. And unless Steph just goes crazy in the finals, which is entirely possible with the way especially that Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole are playing, I would take Boston in that series, because Boston is just really hungry to show that they are this good and they can get another title and hang another banner here.
All right, really quick, because I only have like 20 seconds, we're up against it. So get to the point quickly. Did you really make Chris Black's wife, Autumn, do your laundry?
Over the summer, I didn't make Autumn do my laundry. I said I'd throw it in there. I think she had to pull it all out. But Autumn absolutely helped me with my laundry. I can't, like Tommy Waddle, I can't run away when the truth is the truth.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Well, you can. I mean, like, you can lie. Like I told you earlier, we should just start lying to ourselves.
Well, you're filthy boxers and all, too.
Ooh.
It sucks.
No. Oh, nothing filthy. Chris and Autumn have a beautiful place, too. But she did. I remember she texted Chris, like, why the hell am I pulling Nick's like boxes out of the dryer.
And, yeah,
you know, that's what good friends are for.
By the way, are you wearing that hat? And how the hell did you find a hat big enough to fit on your head?
Do you understand how long it took to find a size 8 down
yes,
the middle?
Yes, that's my first thought I had, Nick, was like, oh, my God, you're going to have to find something that can fit on a fish tank, for crying out
Tommy,
loud.
Tommy, they tried to make me wear a 6.5 for the first shot. I don't think there's one thing I've done in all these years that has made my friends laugh more. It was the hat in Little Havana and the fact that everybody, when I got to Chicago, was calling me a Heat fan, given the fact that I grew up in Orlando and hated the Heat growing up, but I kept picking Miami. So those two things have made my friends laugh till the end of time. But finding a size 8
yeah, that's tough.
Panama hat, that is a chore.
It'll make them.
Nick, enjoy. Thank you as
Thanks,
always.
Thanks, Nick. Love you, buddy.
I love you guys.
Love you too. Bumming us out again. Nick Friedel.
He deals in reality.
Yeah, he hasn't been wrong. You know, he's been wrong about other things, but he hasn't been wrong about the Bulls. But I'm not drafting more Wendell Carters and Kobe Whites. I'm done with that. I'm done. And I'll bide my time until then and produce some good basketball and hope that you get lucky along the way.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Right. Waddle's World is coming up. We're live at Benny's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park, and it's all brought to you by our friends at Miller Lite.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Isn't that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Let's do that, huh? Let's have some fun. It's a Friday. We're about to enjoy a three-day weekend. Your favorite weekend of the year.
Yes, it is.
And Waddle's World is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC, Danny Lynch, our great sales guy with glitter in his hair, just brought me another cold beer. Did you try yours yet?
Danny Lynch is our beer guy.
Yeah. I just went George McCaskey on you.
Yeah. That was a George McCaskey, yeah. Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
Come over here and let me see your hair for a second.
He was at VIPs for the businessman special.
Yeah, you had a giant piece of glitter in your hair when you came in. Yeah. I didn't hear what he said. But did you have a sip of your beer? You yelled at me earlier.
I've been nursing it.
Yeah. Are we going to at some point talk about some baseball? I know Boog's going to join us here. We'll probably talk more about the Cubs, but
and I want to talk about the Sox too.
Yeah, I'm a little bit kind of jazzed about this. I want this team to be better than they are.
Well, I got to tell you, like Carm and Hoodie, guys who are White Sox fans, who would watch the Cubs, and they would say like it's fun to watch. I've been looking forward to watching Sox games.
I have as well,
and like the Yankees series to see what's up their sleeve, and then could they continue the mojo against Boston? And boy, that was a huge letdown. And the first of all, they're not hitting enough as it is. So then when you're behind, what was it, 6-0 early because of Keuchel?
Yeah.
And then we asked Len yesterday if Keuchel is pitching for his job. I mean, I don't know. He sounded like yesterday? When he was very defensive about he knows.
Keuchel being, I mean, when Keuchel's response to, you know.
Like, he's like, I've been doubted before. Yes. You knew. Last year when we had him on, Jake Arrieta promised us. He's like, I'm not done. You know, Jake Arrieta's doing a really good podcast these days with Barstool Carl.
Yeah.
That's where his confidence went to. He's retired. So, like, a lot of these guys are trying talking themselves into it. Like, it's almost like Keuchel's looking himself in the mirror and saying, look, you've been doubted before. You can rally. But and Keuchel, I know he won a Cy Young, too. It may have been the same year that Jake won it. Maller, was that right? Were they both 16 Cy Young guys or 15?
Keuchel, I believe, won it in 2015.
Yeah, so that's when Arrieta won
it. Okay, so 15. Same year, yep.
So, and, you know, Keuchel never was as good as Arrieta, even though he won the Cy Young. He's done. He's completely cooked.
Yeah, I mean, look at his ERA is like almost 8 at this point, isn't it? He had a couple of good starts. He had a good start against the Yankees. It kept him in it, and that's kind of all you were thinking you were going to get from him. But when you start giving up 6, early in games, you're immediately, you know, you find yourself in a position where it's almost impossible to dig out of that hole.
That's the problem, though. It, like, when every time he goes out to the mound, the hope is that he keeps them in it. You're not even, like, no one's even delusional about the fact that he might go out there and be the reason you win a game. It's simply, hey, don't have us behind by five or six before we're out of the second.
Dallas, here's the ball. Don't screw up.
And the truth is, if they continue to give him starts because of his contract over and over again, he may give you one out of every four or five starts where he, quote, keeps you in the ball game. But for a team that is right now 22-22, like, they need to get up and after it here, and I don't think he's helping them in any way at this point.
I think this is the first time I've heard a little bit of urgency in Mellor's voice as a White Sox fan. Now, I know you're a patient fan and you understand the, you know, the nature of the beast when it's a 162-game schedule.
Well, you know, you're probably right. Because I have never been a true believer in Dallas Keuchel, and I'll admit the COVID-shortened year when he had a 1.99 ERA, I did not expect that by any means. But the reality is, I think that camouflaged the true pitcher that he kind of was, because it was a shortened season and he was able to take advantage of it. He's never been a strikeout pitcher. And in this day and age in baseball, if you're going to get hit around, you're probably going to give up some home runs and some doubles, you know, and this is not going to end well in any way in my expectation.
He's not getting better.
He's done.
He's cooked. And one of the Sox guys tweeted this. I'll quiz you guys on this. Since the start of last year, what is his ERA? A year ago.
6.25.
I think it's a little bit, it's just below six. It's like 5.7 or something.
You're exactly right, Mellor. He's 5.71 since the start of last season, and he is allowed, and we know he doesn't go nine, but when you project the stats out over nine innings, he allows 11 hits per nine innings. That's terrible.
And we can look at him as maybe an Achilles heel. But I think what we find ourselves being more passive about the potential of all of these bats collectively. Like, starting pitching in general has been damn good.
Yes, it has.
When I read you these numbers collectively, these are the White Sox through 2020 through a 22-22 start. Collectively, they are hitting .234, which ranks 19th in the league. Their on-base percentage collectively is .290. That ranks 27th.
That's the most disappointing number.
Yes. Their slug is .360 because they were on base. They took walks last year.
Yes.
Their slug is .360. That's 22nd. Their OPS is .650. That's 25th. They have three players hitting above .236 right now. And I get it. Batting average isn't everything. But when you factor in all the other things I just told you, T.A., Vaughn and Robert are the only three players hitting over .236. So, yes, Dallas Keuchel has probably come to the end of the line, but collectively this team can't hit themselves out of a wet paper bag.
Right.
Especially when you look at their baseball cards and you look at their numbers this
year. Right. When last year you're going through it and you've got this big lead from the start, you could sort of deal with it every fifth or sixth day. But now every game is going to be magnified because you're off to the slow start, and they can't afford every fifth or sixth day to know that they don't have a great shot with Keuchel on the mound.
My guess is the moment Lance Lynn is ready to go.
Yes, he's gone.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're going to IL him first. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Maybe they DFA him, but maybe they may see what they can do to just push time back and see if they could IL him, and that way if someone gets hurt, see if he can adapt to a bullpen role when he comes back. I don't know, but I think you're right. I think they're trying to wait to do something when Lance Lynn comes back.
Mellor, would you rather give us a Stanley Cup playoff recap or tell us the truth about you putting small plastic penises on my car wheel tire valves?
Well, Wad, since we've already covered the fact that I am not the perpetrator, I think we move to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Such a lie.
How about Connor McDavid?
What'd you send Connor McJesus last night? I think was the text you sent us.
That's his nickname.
That's his nickname. I know.
But he is awesome, and he's single. Almost single-handedly willed the Oilers to victory over the Flames, a very good Flames team. And if the Avalanche can go ahead and win tonight, in the Western Conference, you will have a showdown between two teams that would be the Oilers and Avalanche with the two, I think, best players in hockey, which would be Nathan MacKinnon and Connor McDavid. So I'm hopeful that the Avs can eliminate the Blues tonight, who I have really no love lost for, the St. Louis Blues, as a Hawks fan. So it would be very nice to see the Avalanche go ahead and eliminate the Blues tonight that showdown.
As the hockey aficionado that I am, I've been saying that this is great for hockey, and this is a big showcase series.
You have been saying that. I don't know if you said it on the air, but I've heard you say it in passing.
I'm pretty sure I remember Sylvie saying, Waddle, as the Stanley Cup playoffs were getting underway, you know, he knew that they couldn't obviously play in the Stanley Cup final, but if you could get an Avalanche Oilers series matchup in the Western Conference finals, that would be excellent for the sport.
Is it the understatement of the year, or at least this time of the year, that the Stanley Cup playoffs have been infinitely more entertaining than the NBA playoffs? From a pure sports perspective, I'm not talking about the popularity. The NBA may be more popular than the NHL.
Well, a lot of people would tell you they always are. But it's just not as popular.
Really? Would they tell you that?
Well, I mean, look, when I was into the NHL with the Hawks being good, I've always told you that last 5 minutes of
you're
a hockey game.
You're still into the NHL. Of course I am. Short.
But the last 5 minutes of a hockey game, well, first of all, we don't have a close 5 minutes, last 5 minutes of an NBA game anymore.
Right.
Because they're all blowouts. But even when it is close, there's a timeout. 20-second timeout. I got to set up my defense. All right. I got to look at the defense. I need a 20 now so I can diagram a play. We got to review something. Let's review it. Like, all these stoppages are time. You know, and then hockey, you go, like, in those last few minutes with that puck just bouncing up and down the ice, and anything can happen.
You got the kids on the ice even in as the summer is about to get here? You got
kids are always on the ice, Waddle. Yeah. That's what we like to say in the Silverman household.
Yeah.
Gunzo's is the spot in Morton Grove.
Excuse me?
Gunzo's.
That's
where we
get. Where you go.
We sharpen our skates there.
Do you anticipate they'll be defensemen or will they be wingers?
Look, I like to play them all over the ice.
Yeah.
Even like to put on the goaltender pads every now and then.
Really?
Just to make sure they're not scared of the puck.
All right.
Yeah.
Meller, does your son play
hockey?
Yeah.
No.
Parcheesi.
Tire penises.
Does he play tricks on other kids at school?
He played hockey for a little while until he was like 5 or 6. Then we moved to Wisconsin, and it was a rude awakening how well the kids in Wisconsin skate, because you basically just...
That's fine. You don't quit just because the other kids around you are a little bit better or have
I'm
a head start
stick
on
to
you.
Skiing.
Yeah. So he,
Well, that's such a great point. The kids in Wisconsin probably have an edge skiing as well.
I guess not on that regard. So he started out, but he lost interest when everybody in the state was it was not cool for him. So we moved to soccer and downhill skiing.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Speaking of the NBA playoffs last night again, it was a 17-point lead at the half. Like. I know they ended up winning by 10, but it wasn't even entertaining.
I turned it off. I kept checking back in, like I would flip it, and like the White Sox would close it to 2, and then Boston would. It wasn't a fun night of watching sports last night.
You know what I did again? I had the NBA game on one side. I had the White Sox game on the other side. I watched Better Call Saul.
Yeah, it's
I'm
a good
season
plan.
Season 5 already.
That's good.
I got season 5.
I believe. Where are they, Mel? Are you up to date, Meller?
I'm not. This season, I haven't started this season yet.
See, I did.
Season 5 is the last one before this final season, right?
Is it
season 6 the last one?
Yeah, you're right.
Are you up to date, JR? You don't watch Better Call Saul?
Yeah, I'm actually up to date.
So, I'm about to watch the midway point episode. Isn't there like a midway?
Yeah, so
finale is what they're calling it.
The midway finale was last week, and then they start up again at the end of July.
Is it sort of like I'm almost we saw there. With Ozark?
Yeah, the right. Same
is
thing.
Is this a new trend where they do
half and half, right? Keep the suspense building.
I think it's half and half like in that final season where they can drag it out a little bit extra.
I've loved the season. Have you loved the season?
Fantastic. I love Kim Wexler. Fantastic character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the series. Like I said, I just started watching it about a month ago, and I'm already season 5, like episode 1.
But will you be watching any of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight, or will you be hammered up and watching something different?
No, I won't be hammered tonight. I'll be hammered the rest of the weekend, but not tonight.
All right. All right, when we come back, I've got some nonsense for you, plus a little something. Mellor, do you have a Florida or Ohio story for us today?
Better.
We have one, actually.
Oh, fantastic.
Jake,
is that Jake?
Yes, he'll be.
Jake can
right,
Jake. Do.
I'm seeing.
Can
right.
do.
We'll do that when we come back.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That's right, it's time for a free ticket Friday. You have four total chances on our show today. This is chance number two. We've got White Sox Dodger tickets courtesy of Miller Lite, 312-332-3776 to win if you're caller seven. That's for TA. So caller number seven right now, White Sox Dodgers. It's a game that I'm going to on June 9th.
That's a good game to go to. You're going to see good baseball, at least from one team.
Right.
Hopefully two.
You know, with a new schedule starting, I believe, next year, we don't have to say, hey, how often do the White Sox and Dodgers play?
That's right.
They will play every year now, like in the NBA. Now, it won't always be at home. It will be a rotation, I believe. Hey, you played them a series at home last year, so now you'll go to L.A. this one. But, yeah, there you go. So, and then we'll give more away here at Binney's, also brought to you by Miller Lite. We've got Cubs Sox tickets for everyone here at Binney's. For the winners, I should say.
Got to be here
for everybody.
Got to be here to win.
Got to be here to win.
By the way, I'm getting some weird, like, tweets from people. I mean, all I did was sign a couple of autographs for some folks. And
your groupies.
You want to play a game?
Let's play a game.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Don't give it away this time, Jake.
Florida!
Don't give it away.
I got it this time. You know, I haven't slept in nights because I did that.
Ohio woman.
Stop it.
I'm kidding. All right, Florida, Ohio is brought to you by Cia Marte, attorney at law. This one is another crazy one. Obviously, I was smoking my meth pipe. Says man who totals tractor trailer during delivery to shopping center. That's the headline.
You know, I mean, I hate to say it, but Ohio's right there in the midst of a lot of that stuff. So
I always told you, too, that Haslam, the owner of the Browns, owned all those truck stops.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
So I'm going to go. Cool. I'm going to go Cleveland, Ohio.
I'm going to go. I'll go with a hometown of one of my best friends, North Olmsted.
Oh, okay.
Ohio.
It would just seem silly and insane to leave Florida on the board. So I'm going to go ahead and be the sole Florida guesser in today's game.
You would have the odds, that's for sure.
All right. Well, delivery driver Michael Calvo, 51, of Cape Coral, Florida. Was making a delivery in the back of the shopping center when his truck tore an awning off the building and hit an unoccupied pickup truck.
Speaking of that, Jake, when I was coming here, I got off on North and I was coming east on North Avenue. A truck got caught on the overpass.
Didn't see the clearance sign, huh? 14.5.
Yeah.
Can't go under that thing.
What do they do then? Do you have to come in and let all the air out of the tires? And that, seriously, you're giggling. How else do you think? They're going to lift the bridge?
Or take Very a different good. Road? Like, don't
no, no,
go.
No. I'm saying now that you're stuck, the only way to get out
right.
from underneath
it
is.
I thought you meant, like, the trucks will let their air out of their tire to go under. I'm like, what are you talking about?
No, I mean to get the truck.
Take a different route.
From being unstuck, you have to let the air out of the tires. And then,
like a cartoon with those little wobbly tires. They just go and then they fill them up again.
It happens on Lake Street, too, where some of the delivery trucks don't clear the L tracks.
Saw this yesterday when I was downtown with my daughter with a giant tow truck trying to tow it out at Lake and Clark yesterday.
It happens probably once every 6 months.
It's not good.
At least that I noticed.
It's not good.
All right, we're live at Binney's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite. More Cubs Sox tickets to give away. Well, let's talk Crosstown Series with Boog Shambi coming up next.